All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Houston, Texas, how the hell are you? It is The Usual Suspects. It's 1 p.m. You know what time it is. I got bad news for you if you were tuning in to hear What Up H-Town. No Joseph Blank.
No once Joel again. Blank.
He is still out with the severed leg, and I think he severed his arm and his head. I'm not sure what's going on. But
are you going to continue with making up a story each and every segment of the show?
I think I'm out of knife ideas to ruin his day. But yeah, no Joseph today. It's myself and Nick and Aaron Rabold with you. We are back in studio. Had a good time in Beaumont. Good to see all the peeps out there.
Yeah, that was fun. Madison's was a really clean setup. I really enjoyed being at that venue. I mean, not the venue, but it's a really nice sports bar. They do it nice. Despite it being kind of an independent feel, it's very nice. There's a TV on every table. They've got a stage, lighting, production equipment, great food.
Anything fun happen after I left?
No, I mean the
Blitz. Nobody got wild and took their shirt off?
No.
You didn't?
No. Nope. I mean, we were giving away shirts, so hopefully people were wearing shirts and not taking their clothes off.
Oh, well, that's good. Yeah. Well, I mean, we can wake up for it now. Y'all want to take our shirts off and do the show?
Aaron can volunteer
Aaron
to do that.
Aaron definitely likes to show off his manly chest.
I'm not going to do that.
No one wants to see that.
Aaron, do you have a hairy chest?
I do.
Oh, God.
Not like werewolf hairy.
Yeah.
Because I'm part Scandinavian, so like my arms and my chest only get barely hairy.
Did you say I'm part Scandinavian?
Yeah.
I'm 45 years old. I've never had someone go. You always hear white guys go, well, I'm like 1/16th Cherokee.
Yeah.
I've never heard someone.
13% Scandinavian.
Yeah, I've never heard someone go, I'm part Scandinavian. I don't even know where Scandinavia is.
Sweden and Finland and all that?
Really?
That's the part of Europe that comes down like a wang.
I thought they got gobbled up by the USSR. Is that not what happened in Scandinavia?
No.
I don't know what's going on. Bro, I don't know geometry. I mean, geography. So, have you ever heard anybody say they're part Scandinavian?
Nope, I have never. No. Aaron would be the first person I've met that said that.
Hairy chest, yes or no?
Very patchy.
Very patchy?
Very small, patchy chest hair.
I have two hairs in the middle of my chest.
I have like 15 or 20. It's really not that, yeah.
I'd rather have 15 than two.
Yeah.
Because two, my wife just goes, why? Why keep the two?
Yeah, it's got a weird L shape on mine.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's really weird. It's not even in the middle. It's not even centered.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So it's just off. You don't shave it? You don't get it shaped
Never.
Up right? Like an edge up?
I'm afraid if you shave it once, it's just going to come
get
back
thicker.
Yeah. So I ain't touching it.
I've heard that is true. Yeah, don't do that. So big news last night, obviously, Astros.
Yeah. Can I get some credit? I was very close to the score. I predicted 6-2 on the show yesterday.
You did.
It was 6-1.
You did.
I'm a baseball genius.
You are a baseball genius. Credit where credit is due. You nailed it. Good outing by Garrett Cole. That's exactly what this team needed. Everything that was supposed to or that needed to happen happened. They got off to an early lead. The offense woke up early, and then Garrett Cole just went in there and gave you. I said I wanted 8-2. I'll take 8-1. That's fine, I guess.
Yeah,
8-1 works.
I mean. It's so much fun just reading his stats alone.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, all the crazy stats that he has. Look who's in the building.
What's up?
We haven't seen you since she had the baby.
I know. We got to talk at the break. We're on air right now.
We'll have a conversation later.
Hey, girl. I mean, Garrett Cole did exactly what you expected him to do.
Another
double-digit strikeouts, 8 innings, 1 earned run, 2 hits, 2 walks, never really was in trouble, had the one mistake that when he got taken deep, but that was pretty much it, and that was early on in the game in the second inning. You kind of felt the momentum of being there. The momentum, once they hit that home run, you felt like that the Rays kind of got the idea that, hey, look, maybe we're still in this. It's not over yet.
Right.
Even though they're down 4-0, but... Well, Cole locked it up, and that was the end of that.
They deserve a lot of credit because after that second inning, I believe the Astros didn't get a hit until the seventh. I think it was a single by Reddick. So the Rays deserve that pitching staff deserves all the credit in the world. For them to go that many innings in that situation on the road, knowing that the Astros, you know, on paper are a better team at home. I mean, they deserve a ton of credit.
Man, it was frustrating to be there. I don't know about how it was if you were watching it, but to be there and feel the energy and the excitement. And then here comes Kevin Cash on another pitching change and another pitching change. And I get what he's doing, and I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying it was smart on his part. 9 pitchers used in the game by the Rays, and it was a great way to keep the crowd at bay. It was a great way to kind of kill any momentum. You know, he played their lefty-righty matchup to a T.
Right.
And at one point, I even thought he was out of lefties once Brantley hit the home run. I was like, oh, I guess that means they were out of lefties because he didn't go with a lefty matchup there. And then 2 batters later, he brings in a lefty. I was like, wow, okay, guess not. That was just a poor choice on his part.
Right, and the approach you talk about was keeping the crowd at bay was actually a smart, because everybody in that building did not know what was going to happen next when he kept changing pitchers, really. And I think that was a part of his approach. I'm not knocking his approach either. Look, 9 pitchers is a lot, but look, they did what they had to do in the middle innings, you know, after the second, to keep that game within reach. It wasn't until the 8th where start getting out of hand. So
put it away. It was an impressive win. It was kind of what I expected to happen coming home. This is a really good home team. Gerrit Cole's a really good pitcher. This offense loves the home cooking. So you got exactly what you needed. And I think this is the formula for the Astros. You get an early lead with the top of that lineup. You get a starting pitcher that can go 6, 7, 8 innings. And then you only see the back end of that bullpen. That's going to be their formula for success going forward. And you know what? This Rays team was a lot tougher out than I think most people expected them to be.
Sure.
I just wonder if this wasn't the best thing that could have happened to these Astros, is getting a tough challenge early in the playoffs from the Rays and really having to, you know, be laser focused when they came home for a game 5, risking elimination. And Yankees, yeah, it's great that you go out and sweep, but their starters now, some of them have gone 7 days without pitching, 6 days without pitching. That's a long time, and that can backfire just as much as going 3 days without pitching.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a firm believer across. I mean, obviously, it doesn't not one formula will work across all sports, but I'm a firm believer of those type of wins that are close that you have to grind out and get, because I feel like there's nothing but benefits that can come from that. Now, you do bring a good point. Some pitchers were not a part of that, so that could come back and bite them. But for the most part, you would think, who's going to get most of the reps anyway, right? Verlander, Cole, Greinke, and then hopefully all these other pitchers that he can throw just eat up, that he can throw in the mix, just eats up innings. I'm okay with those. I'm okay with those type of wins. I think the series going in 5 could only help them against the Yankees. Honestly, yeah. That's just my personal opinion. So,
I did a quick last night. I put together a quick pitching rotation. Moving on, and we'll talk more about this game and more about the series coming up. But I tried to forecast what I thought the rotation would be, because you know you had Verlander going on short rest in game 4,
right,
and Cole pitching last night. So obviously, Greinke pitches game 1 on October 12th. Verlander will have his normal rest, so he'll go in game 2, Cole in game 3. I still think they're going to go Urquidy in game 4. Then you go back to that original rotation of Greinke, Verlander, Cole. The matchup on the other side, and I tweeted all this out if you wanted, at Barry is funny. The matchup on the other side, I think they'll go, based on the way that Aaron Boone managed in the ALDS, it'll probably be something similar. So I think they go Paxton, Tanaka, Severino, then Happ. And then back to that same 3, Paxton, Tanaka, and Severino. I'd be surprised if CC Sabathia makes this team for the ALCS, even though he's pitched lights out against the Astros. I'll be surprised if he makes this team, just because he's struggled so much all year long.
I don't know what the feel is in terms of what the manager over there thinks about him playing in the postseason, but you're right. It's hard to not look back at that and say, hey, there's some precedent here that shows he's had some success against the Astros. 39 years old. Don't know if he can make one final push here and make a run or make something happen. You know, the experience is something that's second.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can't overlook that part.
Oh yeah, no, he's got a ton of postseason experience, and the problem is does he still have it? Is he a guy like, he's 39 now?
He's 39 years old. Yeah, 39 years old. He's about to hit the 4-0.
Do you trust that guy? By the way, shout out to everybody that wanted to move Michael Brantley down in the order. All he did was go 2 for 3, score a couple runs, get a home run.
I was okay with him staying there.
Yeah.
I was thinking about it before the show yesterday, and look, it worked out.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I say you got to leave these guys. The same thing happened in 2017 with Springer. You have to leave these guys in the lineup where they're at and let them hit themselves out of it. We talk about that with shooters in basketball. It's the same thing with hitters in baseball. They've got to hit their way out of the slump. And moving him down, now he doesn't have protection, and it's that much harder. But being in the two-hole, being in front of Jose Altuve, you know you're going to get pitches to hit. It's just a matter of putting it together. And we'll get into also maybe he had a little extra on his side in his at-bats, especially early in the game, because the big story out of last night's game that we didn't even touch on yet was the fact that Tyler Glasnow was tipping his pitches to the Astros.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that, and I was watching the post game because I didn't get to go to the game, and I caught the end of it when I got home from Beaumont. And A-Rod and David Ortiz were big believers, and they both very much believed, and I think Glasnow admitted it.
Oh yeah,
in the post game anyway. So he doesn't believe that that's the reason that the Astros had all that success against them, but he does believe that it was pretty obvious. At least he's man enough to admit that. And you saw the communication, yeah. Like when Abreg made it when Bregman made it home.
Yep,
you saw
talking
him
speak, to Correa.
Yep, speaking to Correa. So he obviously was telling them something.
MLB Network had really good coverage of it. They had Dan Plesac come in and break it down and what the tipping was, and what we can get into that after the break, and all the communication that was going on, because it was much more than just Bregman to Correa. Altuve was involved. The hitting coach was involved. Yep. Alex Cintron. So. Good. I mean, you know, and it's not cheating. And my wife was even telling me on the way home, she goes, I think Alex Rodriguez is trying to imply that the Astros were cheating. So I didn't see it, but one, that wouldn't surprise me because he's a Yankee, but he knows baseball.
I forgot.
This happens all the time.
Totally forgot this. You using the word cheating. You didn't see the post game, but David Ortiz saying the word cheating.
Uh-huh.
We got to get that audio.
I think somebody. Was it you that tweeted out that says it sounds like pooping, but the S word?
Yes, but with a T-Y at the
end.
Can
we get that, Aaron?
We got to get. I think I have it somewhere. If I do, I'll email it.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That's going to be great. Hey, speaking of great guys, I got to tell you about GetUpside. I love this app. You're going to love this app because you love money. I know you do. I know you do. This is why you need to go download GetUpside right now. Put it on your phone. It's in the App Store, whether it's iTunes or Google Play. All one word, GetUpside. Just search for it, install it. You could be done in a matter of minutes. I did it while I was at the pump. And what GetUpside does for you is get you cash back on stuff you're purchasing, like gas and like food. And it's not just like a one-time deal. You can do that every single time. You could literally eat out 3 times a day, every day, 7 days a week, and be getting cash back for every one of those meals. Up to 35% cash back, mind you. And yes, those deals do exist in the city of Houston. Same thing for gas. You can fill up as many times as you want through the app and get cash back every single time, up to 25 cents a gallon. And don't forget that promo code Barry. That's going to get you an extra bump on your fill up through the app. Jake Asman got like $7. My wife ended up getting 30 cents a gallon cash back through the app using my promo code Barry. Guys, it's real simple. If you like getting money back for the stuff you're paying for already, then you're going to love GetUpside. There's no gimmicks, no catches, no long-term commitments. It's just you getting cash back for the stuff you buy. So go do yourself a favor right now. Download GetUpside. Put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back and thank me later.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Hall of Fame, Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarrara.
Listen, whoever don't know much about the inside of part of baseball might call this cheating. It's not cheating, people. It's me paying attention and using every single element that I have to beat you. That's what the Houston Astros did tonight.
Welcome back to The Usual Suspects. Barry, Nick, and Aaron Rabel with you. I don't know why I always say your last name when I say Aaron Rabel. I just say, I don't know why I do that. And you got on me about that.
Because there's so many Aarons at this station.
It's just habit. Shut up.
At Aaron is blitzed.
Is that what it is? At Aaron is
on
blitzed.
On Twitter.
Not today, buddy. At Aaron is suspect. Today.
Can he temporarily change his Twitter
handle?
I
don't know what the rule is on that, how long you can change it or not.
I do
could,
know.
But I know there's some troll out there who would like take it up real quick and then be like, "Will you pay me $50? I'll give it back to
you."
Yeah,
that's true. They would, jerks.
And then Fred Nature would fire me for giving it up.
Oh, they would?
Oh, probably.
Well, yeah, that's.
Did you come up with that handle, or was it the Blitz?
No, my wife did.
Oh, that was a good handle.
It does sound like something petty they would do, though. They're like, "Yeah, you're fired. You lost your Twitter handle. Get out."
Be like, "Oh, you want to be part of the Usual Suspects? Fine. Bye."
Yeah. That Big Poppy audio lived up to the billing. I was cheating.
No, that's not what? Cheating, people. What? Cheating.
Okay, play it again? I just like that one part. Just
listen, whoever don't know much about the inside of a part of baseball might call this cheating. It's not cheating, people.
Yeah, if you're not cheating, you're not trying.
That was on FS1 yesterday.
A lot of people mentioned it. I couldn't remember who, but I think you tweeted it, and I don't remember.
I didn't tweet it. Oh, I was texting back
somebody
and forth.
Did.
I'm sure.
I think it was Tyler.
Was it?
I'll have to check his Twitter history, but he was watching it down.
I didn't get to see it. My favorite is if you're telling me that A-Rod was like, "What?"
That was the best. His reaction was, "What did he just say?" Oh, he was saying cheating. Like, he looked at the producers or the cameraman or somebody and then realized what he was really trying to say. Because I was actually texting back and forth with Joel when it happened. He's like, "Did you hear him say the S word?" I'm like, he was trying to say cheating. It definitely sounded like the S word.
So, yeah, I mean, but on that topic with Tyler Glasnow tipping his pitches, Dan Plesac actually pointed out what the specific tip was. I don't know if this was on other... if everyone else was talking about it. I'm not even sure who pointed it out. I do know that during the game, actually, I was in the media dinner room with Matt Thomas. Shout out to Matt Thomas. He's such a good dude.
Matt Thomas is a good guy.
I love Matt Thomas. I felt like a jerk because I was joking, but we were sitting there talking, and some people from Channel 2, Randy McElvoy and some other folks, and there's one guy from ESPN Deportes comes up to Matt Thomas, and he goes, "Hey, buddy, I was listening today. Said something," and I go, "Oh, geez, thanks a lot," because he said I was listening today, and the guy walked off, and Matt goes, "Oh, no, we know each other." I was like, "I know, man, I'm just joking."
Yeah.
He's ESPN Deportes. He should be listening to ESPN.
Yeah, for real.
I was like, what a jerk, but I really wasn't that upset. Matt's a good dude, man.
Yeah, he is.
But we were in there, and I showed him this video that somebody had tagged me on where you can see Bregman telling Correa, if it's up, it's a fastball. If it's down, it's a curveball. And what he meant by that was the glove placement. So when Glasnow came to his set position with his glove, if the glove was at the letters, he was going to throw a curveball. If it was under his chin or a lot higher up than the letters, the top of the glove, he was going to throw a fastball. And literally, if you go back, there were no swings and misses in the first inning until Correa, which I guess you could tell him was coming and he still can't hit it.
Yeah.
But all those, and Dan Plesac and others were commenting on the fact that those balls that the Astros were hitting, the only way you hit curveballs that good and placement of fastballs that good is if you know it's coming. And that shocked me, but it doesn't surprise me because this Astros team is really good at this. Think back to Yu Darvish a couple years ago. He was tipping his pitches as well when they figured that out. Alex Cintron gets credit because he was relaying that to some of the hitters. Jose Altuve was talking about it, so... This is what you do in baseball, though. If you can get a tip, if you can figure something out that somebody's letting you know what's going on, steal a sign, that's not cheating. That's just playing the game.
Is it safe to say, though, that Glasnow said that's not why they had so much success? That's probably the one part of that audio clip I would disagree with.
Exactly. Right? Yeah, I think it's him saying no. He's trying to downplay it and give them credit at the same time. But the fact of the matter is, I mean, yeah, he missed in the zone. But if you know a curveball is coming and it's going to be in the zone, it's a lot easier to hit.
Yeah.
And go look at the pitches that they took, too. If you know a curveball is coming and it starts off low, then you know it's going to end up in the dirt. You don't swing at it. So not swinging, knowing that it's coming, is just as good as knowing when to swing when it's in the zone. So I think it had everything to do with how well they hit him. But, you know, he missed in the zone sometimes and got hit. And that's the big thing. You always miss out of the zone if you can get people to chase. And that's the big difference between, you know, like Verlander a couple nights ago versus Verlander in game one, is he was missing in the zone versus missing out. So I think it had everything to do with it. I think that was just Tyler Glasnow saying,
"Man,
they got me."
And the way you simplified it, if it's up, it's a fastball, right? If it's low, it's a curveball. I mean, you cannot ask for a more simpler breakdown. Like, if you're trying to guess pitches in an at-bat. So, I mean,
you could even see it. Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying. I just don't know if Glasnow realized, like, obviously he's going to be a learning experience for him, and he's probably going to look back at that situation and learn from it, especially being in the postseason. But, you know, he's going to the Astros have shown time and time again that they are capable of doing that. You mentioned Yu Darvish. I think they can do that again. Mm-hmm. I mean, so.
Yeah, it was interesting because Glasnow goes two and two-thirds inning, gives up four earned runs, five hits, strikes out three. It's amazing that you know what is coming and you still strike three people out. That's how good he is and can be. But I think at one point you saw Kevin Cash come out of the dugout and bring the entire infield, catcher, all of the, you know, second short, everybody on the field. And I think, and this was during the time that Glasnow was on the hill, I really think he knew that the Astros knew something was up. I think he was having that conversation about, look, they know something. They know something we don't. You're either tipping pitches or they're figuring out, they're stealing signs. Something's going on, guys. Let's switch it up a little bit. Because things settled down a little bit after that.
He didn't even know. Like, he didn't even know he was tipping pitches.
I don't believe he did in the first inning. I think they figured it out in the second inning when Cash made that visit to the mound, or maybe in the end of the first inning. But things changed a little bit. But by then, it's too late. You're already down four runs.
I mean, Bregman speaking with Correa probably was just one of several indicators that something was going on. If anybody was observing on that field, Cash included, you would see that there was communication going on with that between the Astros.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would have done the same thing. Everybody, I would have got everybody from the infield too. I mean, you have to bring that situation to light considering you're in the postseason,
Yeah. Take advantage of everything. I don't think it's cheating. I mean, if you can figure it out just based on tendencies, that's not cheating at all. That's not cheating.
I was telling you about how much fun it is to read some of Cole's stats. I know we're going to go to break, but just a few of these stats that mm-hmm. it's incredible. Going back to August 1st, Cole had 73 strikeouts consecutively.
That's crazy.
Until the third inning of that game, yesterday's game. So the third inning, he didn't have any strikeouts. He had 73 consecutive strikeouts going into that third inning.
73 innings with a strikeout.
Right.
Yeah. That's insane.
Going all the way back to August 1st. That's a crazy stat, right?
Yeah. Because you're basically saying that, look, I know I'm going to get one out per inning that's not going to be a hit or a walk or I'm going to get an out. Where you're not going to put a ball in play. That's huge, man. That's a third of the inning that you can count on over 73 innings.
It's crazy. Yeah. Probably two more. One, you probably mentioned the 23 strikeouts he had this series, the most by any Astros pitcher in a single postseason series of all time. That's crazy.
Missed the mark by one for all time. And I think Curt Schilling was the one that did it. He had 24, but that was in he had three games to do it in the ALCS.
Yeah.
So Cole does it in two games and misses by one, which is amazing.
That more impressive. And then obviously he was averaging 97.2 miles per hour at 107 pitches. That's just absolutely insane. Every batter has to be scared of Gerrit Cole if they're facing him.
I mentioned this last night. I forget who I told, but anybody else that does what Gerrit Cole is doing on the mound in sports, when you look at the kind of pitcher he was before he came to the Astros to where he is now and how dominant he is, You accuse them of cheating. You say, look, he's on steroids. Now, I'm not saying that he maybe isn't doing a little something to get his fingers tacky to put a little extra spin on the ball.
Uh-huh.
Pretty much every pitcher in baseball does that now. So it's not necessarily cheating. It's just against the rules.
Right.
But I think most people would, if a batter does what he's done, like a Brady Anderson did back in the day when he had 50 home runs out of nowhere, you assume he's cheating. Gerrit Cole is just, it's to that point, it's so ridiculous where
it's that
I'm
impressive.
Starting to think, all right, what is going on here? How is he so dominant?
That's why he's getting so frustrated with the questions. I mean, he's literally saying, like, I don't know. The fastball just comes out. I don't know. I just throw it. I don't know. Like, he's running out of answers at this point.
There you go. All right, we'll be back right after this. This is Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Don't go anywhere.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I am pumped to be here, though. I travel around a lot. I don't always get the best hotels. I stay at a lot of hotels. They're not always the best. I was in one recently, and nothing worked. The elevator didn't work. Finally got up to my room, and the Wi-Fi didn't work. So I went back downstairs. I was like, hey, the Wi-Fi doesn't work. And he was like, yeah, it's a little shaky. But the network name is Ramada N1. And that's when I realized why it was shaky, because we weren't at a Ramada Inn. I could see the Ramada Inn through the window. He was like, but it works real good down here in the lobby. Why don't you just use it here in the lobby? And I'm like, well, obviously you don't know what I need Wi-Fi for. You know
what I mean? Welcome back to The Usual Suspects. I'm so happy to have our comedian of the week with us, joining us now, Dusty Slay. Dusty, thank you for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm pumped to be here. Having a great time.
Listen, Dusty and I worked together in San Antonio a couple months ago, three, 4 months ago, maybe a little further.
I think it was March. Yeah, March.
Yeah, and it was the first time I'd ever met Dusty, and he could not have been nicer. And I was super excited when I saw that he was coming back in town at the Houston Improv. They're all weekend, right? You got tonight, tomorrow. You had a show last night.
Right, yeah. Two shows tonight, two shows tomorrow, and one Sunday.
One on Sunday.
Nice.
Yeah, and Dusty's resume speaks for itself. Youngest comedian to ever perform at the Grand Ole Opry.
Right.
Right. That was
six times I've been there now.
And I know that was huge for you. That was like a lifelong dream of yours.
I love it, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the closest I get to being a country singer, you know what I mean?
And you're a country boy.
Yeah.
From Alabama. You talk about that in your set about being from the trailer parks in Alabama. Right,
right? Absolutely, yeah.
Comedy Central Clusterfest in San Francisco, Jimmy Kimmel Live, Last Comic Standing, Last on Fox, one of Variety's top 10 comedians to watch in 2019. The resume is ridiculous. The man is hilarious and couldn't be nicer off stage. Man, I'm thank you for being here, first of all. I'm excited about this.
Yeah, I'm pumped. I love being on sports radio. I think it's fun.
Favorite sport is?
I like college football.
Okay.
Best.
Your team?
Well, I'm afraid to talk about it because I think Alabama plays Texas A&M weekend.
Yeah, right?
They do. So I'm afraid to say that I'm an Alabama fan.
Nah, don't be.
But yeah, I mean, I'm from Alabama. I love it. But, you know, I grew up next to Auburn. Where I come from, they say you're either an Alabama fan or you went to college.
Right? That's awesome.
But
that's
I didn't go to college, so roll tide.
Yeah. Right. So I figured, I mean, I kind of put you on a NASCAR guide just because...
Well, growing up, I watched NASCAR all the time.
But yeah.
I feel like it's not the same now. You know, it used to, I don't know. When I was growing up, I liked Kyle Petty because I liked Mellow Yellow, and he drove the Mellow Yellow car.
That was it?
Yeah, and my mom was a Alan Kowicki fan, and he drove the Hooters car. So whenever Alan Kowicki came to the local Hooters, my mom would go flirt with Alan Kowicki. I got to go hang out with the Hooters girls, you know?
Pretty cool.
Yeah. That made you a NASCAR fan.
Yeah,
huh?
I was like, this is
a good deal.
Yeah, I love NASCAR.
Drinking Mellow Yellow at the Hooters, it doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah, Bill Elliott drove the Budweiser car. I mean, we were having a good time.
Now, if you have not seen Dusty, again, I just gave you the resume, but on stage... And I'm not just saying this. I think I came back and said this on the show after we worked because I'll come back from a road gig and talk about it and tell. I told the story about how we sat outside smoking cigars.
Yeah.
And, you know, I kind of felt like I got another punch on my man card because I don't smoke cigars.
Oh, yeah.
And you do. Did. You don't smoke anymore.
I know. I know. I had to. Yeah, I just wanted to breathe a bit. And I felt like I wasn't inhaling them, but somehow I was coughing a lot. And I was like, maybe I am inhaling them and I don't even know. I'll be back.
You're going to go back to it?
Yeah, I'll be back.
I won't. I told Dusty, I was throwing up in my room. I was so sick from the cigars, and I wasn't inhaling. I know better. I mean, I'm a former cigarette smoker, smoke weed occasionally. I had smoked a cigar before. I don't know if they, you know, like if you dipped it in poop before you gave it to me. I was so sick.
See, it can be rough on you.
Yeah, it can. And my whole thing with cigars is like, you're supposed to obviously not inhale them. I don't inhale them just like you do, but if you drink whiskey and you take a couple hits on a cigar, there might be a buzz to come from that, you know? And it's like, am I inhaling it? Because how am I buzzing right now, you know? And for me, cigars are very, I love the taste of cigars, but I do get that exact same feeling. I feel like it's going in my chest.
Yeah, I think it's the greatest thing to just have a cigar, just kick back. It's so great, you know. Maybe you have a little weed in there too. I don't know. You mentioned it. I wouldn't bring it up. You brought it up, and then, but we set out there with some guy. Where were they from? Another part of Texas.
They were like, weren't they softball? Or they were there for like softball or volleyball. Their kids were playing sports, but they were out there getting high and smoking cigars with us.
Yeah, they were from a wild part of Texas.
Is this the comic with the plug that you were talking about?
The plug.
The plug.
What plug?
I don't think so.
The plug that you were talking about.
No, that's not him. No,
I don't have any plugs. I don't.
I was about to put him on blast. I was like, was it you? Let me know, sir.
No, it wasn't Dusty. I promise you. In fact, I think I had to plug Dusty. I got him the hookup while I was there, right? I believe. No, we didn't do anything illegal. That's not true at all. I don't know what I'm talking about. But how did you get started smoking cigars? I don't even think we talked about it that night.
Well, I like to run the gauntlet of nicotine. You know, I used to dip. I used to smoke cigarettes. I chewed tobacco. Now I'm like, let's try cigars.
Yeah.
You know, but no, I just needed something. I felt like I had nothing. I needed a vice. I quit drinking. I quit everything. And
how long did you smoke cigarettes for?
Off and on for, I don't know, 10 years.
Damn. Okay.
Off and on. I'd quit here and there, but I'd quit long enough. My lungs would hurt, and I would dip till my lungs healed. And
then Your cheeks would hurt.
Yeah. Then I would smoke till my lip healed.
Now, if you went back, would it be cigarettes or cigars?
Cigars all the way.
Yeah.
I think cigarettes cheapen the whole tobacco experience, you know? You just go out, you can grab a quick cig, you know? You can't have a quick cigar. You don't pop out and go, I'm going to take a cigar break here.
Yeah,
that's so true. An hour and a half.
Yeah, that's your whole lunch break. You know?
That's very true. Now, I got to say, man, when we worked together, I knew of you, but I hadn't, you know, obviously we hadn't worked together or anything. Unbelievable writing, unbelievable delivery. The comic that you're watching is really good. When you're on stage and you laugh, even though you've seen the joke five times, I laughed all weekend. But the thing is what I've noticed is when I think, oh, that was right there. Why didn't I think of that? And that's the smartness of comedy is when it was so obvious, but no one else thought of it until you do it.
Yeah, well, I'm counting on my jokes being re-listenable because it's hard to write a joke, right? So it's like when you get one, I'm like, I want to hang on to it. That's the worst thing about doing TV. People expect me to throw those away. I'm like, no, that's my best joke.
Yeah, I'm not going anywhere.
That's a joke I thought was good for TV. I'm gonna do this for a while.
I'm gonna hang on to it.
I'm just hanging around. I just love to look at things and just comment on things. So I'm like, that's why I don't know. Observation, I think, is my biggest skill.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah.
Well, I got to ask because working with Barry, we've talked a lot about heckling. I'm not a comic. I like to talk about. I love one thing that I have an obsession for is watching YouTube videos and seeing like comics destroy hecklers. I just think that's funny. But one thing that I've noticed, and I've talked to Barry about this, is that when you write, when you talk, like you do have like pauses, and I guess that's part of the reason why you have such good delivery.
Yeah.
Other comics may be a little bit more tight with their content. Does that work against you when it comes down to people that might heckle you? And do you have any like heckling stories that you could share?
Well, I try to not have jokes that comics want to heckle me about, right? It's like if you're finding something wrong that you want to yell at me, then you got a real problem. You know what I mean? Like if I'm on stage and you're mad, you want to heckle me. It's like, but I like to do, I like to say we're having a good time. You know, I like to tell people we're having a good time. I don't like to ask, you know? A lot of comics come out, they say, are you having a good time? Not me, I can't risk it, right? and then I wave. I have a wave where I say, I like to wave like this at the end of a joke, just to let you know that joke's over, right? So when someone heckles me, I like to wave at them and go, hey, we're having a good time. And then I feel like that normally quiets them down. And
that works.
Yeah, normally. But, you know, sometimes you have to go back and forth a little bit. The comments that get me the worst are the ones that no one else in the audience can hear, right? Like if someone's close. That's the worst. Like I had a guy one time at the very beginning of my set. He was like, yeah, we like the other guy. And no one else could hear it. And it's just in me. Now he's just hitting me with them. He's hitting
me. For the next 44 minutes.
He's hitting me with little comments. No one can hear him. They don't know why I'm so mad.
God, that's frustrating.
Just peppering those jabs at you the whole fight.
I was like, can somebody kick this guy out? The audience doesn't know why I want him kicked out.
No clue.
He's the most muscular guy in the room. I think the bouncer was a really skinny guy. He came, looked at the guy. I think he just turned around. He's like, nah, I'm not going
to. We're not going
to. I told him, I was like, you're too muscular for anyone to kick out. So just be quiet. We get it.
So funny. Yeah. That's the thing you do learn, though, is look, if you're going to attack a heckler, you can't assume the rest of the room heard it.
Right.
So you have to repeat what they said, which also puts you at a disadvantage if it was good.
Right.
Because now they're going to get another laugh.
Yeah.
And then you get to go at them.
And I can't just repeat to the audience, this guy just said I'm not funny.
Right? Nobody's doing
that's
that.
That's not a fun repeat.
Nobody's doing that at all. Where did the whole we're having a good time and the wave come from?
Well, for years I worked the road. I did a lot of bad gigs, right? So I'd be like, I'd do gigs where people weren't laughing, and I would just wave. And then I started talking about it. And I was like, hey, yeah, I'll just do this at the end of the joke. You know,
and
then
let you know
we're having a good time is what I would just say to myself when I was on stage during these gigs. You know, when they weren't like, I'd go out, there's 12 people in the audience. I'm like, all right, we're having a good time.
I remember the thing that cracked me up is you went on stage. It was our Thursday show, or maybe it was our Wednesday show. And there was like 20 people in the crowd. And you walked out and you were like, yep, I'm Dusty Soleil. Very famous.
Yeah.
Very famous. I died because of the dryness. And that's such a beautiful art form to be able to go out. And I think I remember making the comment to you. I was like, I wish I was that confident to go out and be that dry and that matter of fact about the silliness of it.
Oh, yeah.
And that's just one of those muscles I guess you get on the road doing bad shows all the time.
Yeah, I mean, that's the benefit to doing a bunch of bad shows is you get used to it. Like last night, there wasn't a ton of people last night. Unfortunately, I came at a time when the Astros are in the playoffs.
Right.
And but yeah. I just said, you know, I go all over the country selling out shows. On Thursdays, I do a private show, you know. I normally only let 10 people in here. I don't know how five of you got in.
That's outstanding, yeah. Man. Hey, can you stick around? Can you do one more segment?
Yeah,
you good?
That'd be great. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll do this. We'll go to break. We'll come back. I don't want to shatter it. We'll get in trouble with AJ, but we'll come back with more Dusty Soleil. People on Twitter are asking, who is this? This dude is hilarious. It's at Dusty Soleil on Twitter. Also, at the Improv this week. So check it out. We'll have more info. We'll be back right after this. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back to the show. I missed the first half thing that Joel used.
Messed it up again.
Yeah, it's normally myself and Nick, Dusty, and then we have another host on the show, Joel Blank, who is out. He cut his leg off. And he didn't cut it off, but he cut it pretty deep.
It's a pretty serious injury. Yeah.
So he has all these sayings that he does, and I don't remember any of them, and I'll mess them up. So I've just... We're getting by until Joel gets back.
When you say sayings, what do you mean?
Like, he'll halfway through the show, he'll go, 90 in the books, 90 still to go here on the big show. And I don't know. That one, but I forget to do it. And yeah, there's a lot of these things that
he'll have
kind
one
of,
like in the first hour, the second hour, the third hour. He'll have them throughout the show.
I thought you meant like sayings like another day, another dollar. You know, that kind of
no,
stuff.
No, I can just make those up. Yeah. My mom had those
too, though.
Yeah. I think being from the South, every mom had those sayings.
Oh, yeah.
My mom was lazy, though. She would just repeat commercials.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, there are some sayings where wow, that's deader than a doornail, which don't understand. I'm sure you've heard that one.
I have heard that one, yeah.
But what my mom would do is she would just throw a commercial at me. Like, I would be like, do I really have to clean my room? She'd go, you got it, Toyota. I'm like, that's not even a saying. That's just you using someone else's writing. Like
drunk as a bicycle, right?
What?
Like, what's that mean? People used to say that all the time. Drunk as a bicycle.
We are from two different souths. That's really drunk as a bicycle?
Drunk as a, yeah.
Aaron, have you ever heard
in
that?
Alabama?
No,
or
you're
never.
From Scandinavia. You don't know.
Yeah, Alabama, yeah.
Drunk as a bicycle.
Yeah.
Oh, this we could do this all day.
So is this in every state now? They have their own little lingo, I'm assuming, then, right?
It's drunk as a skunk, too.
Yeah, drunk as a skunk.
I've heard that.
I don't know what that means either, though.
Yeah, I don't
you
know.
Just smell never, bad? I don't know.
I've never seen a skunk get drunk.
Yeah.
I think it was just somebody trying to come up with a saying and rhyming. Right. And they were just yeah, you know what? We'll just go with that. I guess. We're, the bicycle one didn't make sense, but we'll just rhyme this time.
Yeah, I wonder if the bicycle, it's like if you try to push it by itself, it just falls over, right?
So
that may be
that
it.
Could be it.
But it's not drunk. It's an inanimate object.
With the chain on it. And, that makes no sense. Now, I didn't want to brag, but I was going to come see you tonight, but I can't because I've got a really important gig that I'm doing comedy on a bus tonight.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, yeah. I mean, when you get as big and popular as me, you get those cool gigs like doing comedy on a bus for 12 single people.
That's practically a tour bus.
I mean, yeah, that's what I feel like. This is my big break, my big shot. So, you know,
is
I would
this
come
the first of
out.
Its kind that you've done?
I don't know why I took this gig. It was because I didn't have a gig. And they were like, hey, we're doing this thing on a bus. I was like, I mean, I just did a 16-year-old's birthday party. It couldn't get any worse than that. So I was like, that's fine. I'll do the bus gig.
I did the local news this morning, and they had a live studio on it. Most of them were Girl Scouts. I was like, this is not my crowd.
That's not your crowd at all. Do y'all even know what Napa is?
Right.
the Napa hat on?
I made Girl Scout cookie jokes, and that was good.
You did good? Did you kill them?
Yeah. So I was looking for the hookup on some Girl Scout cookies, and they really laughed. And then they were like, they're not in season. Like they have to grow them. You know what I mean?
It's not harvest time yet for the Girl Scout cookies. Hey, look, if you want to get tickets, go to improvtx.com to get tickets to see Dusty Slay. Highly recommended. Lots of feedback on Twitter. You're very, very popular on Twitter, apparently.
Well, I've been working on Twitter now.
Have you?
I let it go by the wayside for
years. I remember when we worked together.
Yeah, I've been on it. I've been posting every day. I've been on it. I've been treating it like a job.
What I like is that all of your – well, I mean, you've obviously – your rise has been rapid over the last couple of years. And I know you've been doing it for a while, but you really hit in the last couple of years big time. And, I mean, you don't get to work at the Improvs and headline if you're not doing something right.
Right.
I mean, these are A rooms across the country that you're headlining. And I think sometimes the last thing to be, you know – focused on is the social media. What I love is that you're doing YouTube videos now, you're doing Instagram, and you're starting to post the mean comments that you get on YouTube.
Oh, I love that. That's my favorite.
That's the best part to me.
Yeah.
Is the YouTube comments. People can be, what's the meanest thing anyone said to you on YouTube?
Oh, I don't know. Well, one guy said he looks like the guy who comes out to say a prayer before the NASCAR race begins. And I don't know if that's mean, but
there's some. I mean, there might be some truth in it.
Yeah, yeah.
It hurts a little bit.
Most people just say I look like somebody else. Let's
right.
See, I got a couple here. Let's see if I can find some of them.
They're probably brutal. It's YouTube comments, man. They're brutal.
I mean, people
they're
say,
ridiculous.
It's a wannabe Larry the Cable Guy, a hipster version.
Yes.
So what is the meanest thing you said back? Because Barry likes to tell people to suck his dick.
Oh, I know. I follow Barry on Twitter. I don't know how he has any followers. If he's correct his spelling, he unfollows you.
I block people. Yeah. We talked about that. I made that I don't make a lot of New Year's resolutions, but this year I made two resolutions. One, people on social media, I'm 45 years old. If you correct my spelling, I'm blocking you.
Yeah.
I realize I can't spell. You know what I meant. Let's all just move on.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm not trying to get a job here. All right?
I know. I love it. I love that you do that because it's like, you know, when we're talking, you wouldn't correct my spelling. You know, it's like, but it's like I'm trying to write it down. Yep, cut me some slack.
And I'm usually driving while I'm sending these tweets out. I don't have time to spell check. I'm on the road. I'm doing 75 and a 40. I don't have time for this.
Yeah.
My second resolution.
right.
As a comedian, I think you'll appreciate my second resolution. My second resolution was to never tell a comic good set when they got off stage if it wasn't a good set.
Yeah.
I really feel like we get into this groove where no matter who it is and how bad they did, you're just like, hey, good set, man.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to lie to them anymore.
If I know them really well, I like to shake their hand and kind of pull them in close and go, hey, great set.
Just sarcastically.
Yeah. Great set.
You
really nailed it.
Wow. Thanks for doing your job. Really appreciate it. I feel like, though, like, you know, open mics or wherever we're at, I just, like, the MCs get off stage at a show and they've done bad and everyone knows they've done bad. And you're still like, hey, good set, man. I always did that.
I know.
I don't want to do that anymore.
I don't like doing it either.
Yeah. So that was my two New Year's resolutions.
So one, if you don't say it, that means you absolutely suck. A person should expect.
If they get off stage, I'll just be like, hey, man. Cool.
That's why Barry never tells me good job, because he knows I suck every day on the show.
I like to try to find one thing that they did that I liked and go, hey, I really liked that joke.
Oh, see, I can see, use
that's
that.
Good. Yeah. That's helped, because then you can filter out. Maybe you can filter out some of the bad content, right?
Yeah.
I like that you didn't go long.
Right.
That'll be what I say.
Way to stick to your time up there.
Thanks for doing 14 instead of 15. Yeah. We all appreciate it.
Thanks for bringing that so long-winded. But, I mean, does anybody ever, like, critique you, like, at clubs after you get off? Like, owners? Or is it always, like, comics that usually do the critiquing? Like, who does a lot of the critiquing? Is it your mentors?
Anytime I've had an owner critique me, I never liked it, you know? No. I always just got mad about it and talked about it later.
I can see that. Yeah. I can understand that.
I think the funny thing when Dusty and I worked together is, you know, he didn't know who I was. I didn't know who he was. And he had asked me, you know, because Dusty, you work clean, but it's there. That's always the thing where people are like, oh, he's clean. If people are funny, you don't even notice. And that's the thing about you is you don't even notice you really don't curse. And it becomes a crutch. And that's what a lot of people also don't realize is as comics, if we're cursing, it's because we're not confident in our material. And if you can write clean and be funny, that's the ultimate in this business.
Yeah. And, I mean, there's some comics, hilarious, cuss all the time. Dave Chappelle, Bill Burr. Sure. I would never say these guys are not confident in their material. But,
I'm talking about like me, guys that are featuring right
younger
now and
comics,
stuff like that.
Dropping the F-bomb every 5 seconds. It's like, definitely becomes a crutch.
And we had that conversation. You were like, well, are you dirty? And I was like, well, I cuss, but I don't think I'm dirty. And then I got on stage and I think I probably overdid it. And you were like, hey, maybe don't cuss so much this next show. And I was like, oh, I felt so bad. So then I went out and I didn't cuss at all. And I didn't have a good set. And when I got off stage, Dusty pulls me aside. And they didn't say, like, good set. He goes, hey, I feel like maybe I was too hard on you. Just do your set.
That is fantastic.
Which was his way of saying, that was awful. Just go back to being you. Well, and it'll
my
be
bad.
Fun. And so I found a happy medium, I think.
Well, I hate doing that to people. Like the guys I worked with last night, no one told them to be clean. And so I'm like, hey.
I know who it is. And I'm sure you were in the back just going, ooh, ooh, ooh.
And I was like, I hate to do this to you. But
well, they'll be getting the deal. They get the first Dusty talk and the second Dusty talk.
But So I do that to people everywhere, and I hate. But it's just I feel like if you take the audience to a place, and then they don't want to, you know, they don't want to laugh at my Home Depot jokes. Then you know what I mean.
It's the thing though is I just kind of went. I mean, you said that to me, and we had already had had a good vibe in the green room, and that's a big part of it, right?
Oh yeah.
But you were like, yeah, just do your set. And I think we both had really good shows. It was a great weekend. And I think when your material is as good as yours is, it doesn't matter who goes on before you or what they do.
Yeah, we had a great time. We only had that Sunday show where there was like a local comic who came. He's like, he did comedy a couple of times, really drunk. He just kept talking the whole time. He wanted to be part of the
show. That was pretty awful.
He's like, it's my birthday or whatever.
We're like, man. No one cares. Like, it's worse. Sunday. We want to leave, buddy. Yeah, no one cares. Oh, all right, guys. For tickets, if you want to go check out Dusty, I highly recommend it. I'm gonna pop in Sunday. I do have gigs tonight, tomorrow, but I want to come by Sunday and hang out. There are some tickets available. Two shows tonight, 7:30 and 9:45. Two shows tomorrow, 7 and 9:30. And then the 7:30 show on Sunday. Look, it's just easier. Go to improvtx.com. Find the Houston location and go get tickets and support Dusty, man. Love you, buddy.
Yeah,
thanks for calling out, man. This
Thank
was
you.
Great.
I got a hot new YouTube video coming out today.
What's the YouTube channel?
At Dusty Slay. Just
Dusty
type Slay.
S-L-A-Y.
Is that your Twitter handle or your handle across all social media at Dusty Slay?
That's me.
There you go, man.
D-U-S-T-Y-S-L-A-Y, Dusty Slay. Yeah. Thanks for being here, buddy.
Thank you for having me.
All right.
Appreciate it.
We'll be back with more Usual Suspects right after this. ESPN 97.5.
G'day, mate. This is Sam Winslow of the Houston SaberCats. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.